This is Matt Siraj, fourth generation owner of Community Coffee.
My great-grandfather named it Community, just out of appreciation and respect for his friends and neighbors. And for 100 years, our family has been about two things: great tasting coffee and great people. And as America's number one family-owned retail coffee brand, we believe it's our responsibility to continue to give them the best tasting coffee experience possible. And it's why we're excited for you to discover your new favorite blend. Look for Community Coffee at a store near you.
And we are live. Amp is off.
And check out Crypto Tales. I will take you on a journey
every time, man, because we are.
Thank God.
See, we're a busy station, man. Sometimes you just don't get this stuff. But I will tell you this: Happy New Year, Happy 2020. I'm calling it 2020 Vision, man, because I've got the vision, and I feel like people want to be done with all of this rhetoric. They want to be done with the negative talk. They want to be done with the negative stuff. You know, and you know, I drive around a lot out there. I'm cruising. I'm here and I'm there. And you know, Christmas season, people put Christmas lights up on their house, and it's kind of nice to see. You know, I put some out too, and I used to go all out. You know, I used to like go crazy, putting like thousands of Christmas lights. I was like that dude on Christmas Vacation, man. Like, you know, maybe not as bad as that, but pretty close. You know, 40% of something like that, because it's just cool. You know, fun to do. And, you know, sometimes things, you get a little older, you start backing off on stuff, but you still do it, right? And then it's nice for other people to see, you know. So, and also a dark time of year, it's nice having the light and that type of thing. So, but I noticed, you know, this year, a bit last year, but a lot this year, I just don't see Christmas lights out there. I didn't see a lot, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, or if people put them out, they put like one strand and wrap it around their railing and kind of left it at that. And you know, I kind of like blame it on the morale of the country in a weird way. I think that people are just tired of just the political bashing that you get from all sides, man. You know, it's almost like you can't say anything, not even in your own home, you know, when certain people will be like, oh, my God, yeah, I don't want to hear this, you know. But it's kind of funny because it didn't used to be like this. And you could discuss politics intelligently for the most part without getting, you know, just a reaction of outrage. And there's just so much of it now. And I think people are so bombarded. So then you change the subject, right? You start thinking about other stuff. And I know people that, you know, really get heated when it comes to politics. So, and like, really heated, like to the point where they get violent, you know. And you say, oh, you got to back off. I told the Pope, I'm like, Pope, you got to back off, man. You don't be slapping people out there because of politics. You know? The Pope's like, sorry, Mike, you got to do it. You know what I mean? I'm the Pope, the slapping Pope, right? You saw the Pope slap that woman. She grabbed out. Pope's walking past this lady, and she grabs out, grabs his hand. You know, he's the Pope. You probably guess that a lot. He's the Pope. People want to touch him. You know, they think that he's godly or something. They think that he's some kind of representation of something higher, a higher being, which is totally false. Of course, the guy's not. You know, he's a representation of a large corporation. You know, he's a CEO. You know what I mean? So she grabs the Pope's hand and then, you know, like pulled him off balance a little bit. But instead of him being all popely and say, oh, my God, I know you love me and you grabbed out to me and I appreciate that. No, he like slaps her hand hard, like whack. And she like grabbed her hand like, oh, Pope hurt me. The Pope beat me. Stop beating me, Pope. I don't deserve it. I'm just here to see you. Come on. I'm going to slap you. You know, it's like that. But, you know, should it be like that? And then my bigger question is, what would Jesus do, man? You know, you think Jesus would be all like smack, you know? Oh, you know what I mean? Like you want to reach out and touch Jesus. Oh, you know, I mean, what? You just met the Messiah. Oh, come on, man. It's got to be better than that. If you're the Pope, you're supposed to be first and foremost. But look who our president is, you know? So I don't put any stock in any of that, you know, and I never did. And for the people that are upset about politics now, that's what I've felt for a long time, since I was a teenager, since I became aware of politics. a young teen, maybe even 11, 12. And then, you know, that's not fair. That's not right. That's not good that they do that. Why do they do that? How come there's poor people? How come there's homeless people? I have a million questions. And to this day, many years later, not one of them has been answered, except the fact that these people don't care. They take their political positions. They make money from it. They build up their own brand. And then, you know, they don't care about the little people out there. They don't care how you're living. They don't care what you're doing. It's one thing or the other with these guys. It's all about personal. Now it's about personal revenge. They're taking revenge on each other, you know, and it's ridiculous. And this is why the morale is low, because these are your elected government officials. They shouldn't be playing around like this. They shouldn't be doing these things. You know, these aren't princes and princesses and kings and queens. These aren't dictators. They're freaking politicians. You're supposed to be able to rein them in, except people are gullible, right? And they're going to listen to whatever they're told on both sides. They're just going to listen to it on both sides. There's New Year's Eve, right? I didn't go out. Maybe a little bit of sushi. After that, came home and was going to watch the ball drop. And I saw that Steve Harvey was on. I like Steve Harvey. He was going to be on Fox, regular old Fox channel, which belongs to ABC now. You know what I mean? Fox News Corp. Belongs to Fox News Corp. But I'm like, Steve Harvey, that's cool. He's a funny guy, man. Always liked him. You know, I don't watch The Price is Right. He hosts The Price is Right because I'm not a game show kind of guy. But very funny dude. Spend New Year's Eve with Steve Harvey. That's good, man. And then, but he wasn't on until late. So I'm flipping around the channels. And then, you know, NBC, which to me is no man's land. NBC, I'm like, NBC? I even make it with the... When I say C, I make the little wincy face like NBC, really? And I watched that, and it had Carson Daly. Met that dude years ago. He was like with MTV for a minute, and then maybe E Channel or something. He made his way around. Now he's on NBC, right? And then with this cute chick, whatever her name was, whatever her name was, something how, whatever. You know, she's a singer, she's a dancer, she's an actor, like all around entertainer, right? Like, and that's cool. But she was like bubbly and high energy. Made me want to watch it. I didn't watch it for the other two dudes. I watched it because she was interesting and bubbly and high energy, you know, and that made it all like, okay, you're in New Year's Eve, you know, you're in Times Square. So then I was like, just for the freak of it, I'm going to go up to CNN. The lowest rated channel in American history, CNN. CNN, they can't even get off the... I mean, like, really, at this point, they're a propaganda network. And, like, why bother, you know, CNN? I mean, I know they all pretty much are, Fox, all of them, man. But CNN, I mean, really? They're like a supreme offender. So, of course, New Year's Eve, they used to have Kathy Gifford, right? The redhead comedian. And Anderson Cooper, their long time anchor. I was talking to my mom last night, and she's like, "Oh, I watched him for a little while, you know," and she's not really into staying up late at TV, whatever. But she's like, "Oh, I like Anderson Cooper." I'm like, "Why?" And she's like, "Well, you know, I think he's good." And I kept, you know, so of course I had to tell her why he's not, you know, whatever, all the different reasons why. And the guy just, you know, but he rejected his wealth. I'm like, you know, his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt, and she died and left him everything. And he was like, "No, I don't want it." But he took it anyway. If you reject your wealth, you say, "No, I don't want it. I'm giving it to charity. I'm going to offload it over there. I'm just going to put some poor people in that mansion or whatever. No, I don't want it." And you take it anyway. That's kind of like, it's like you're on a date with a chick and, like, you know, you offer, like, you know, like a piece of pizza. "No, I don't want it," but they eat it anyway. It's kind of like that. You know what I mean? But with more money. So, and this guy's been caught so many times faking the news and doing weird stuff. I just can't watch him. And he represents a network that is solely involved in bashing and propaganda. They don't care about facts. I called CNN years ago and talked to a producer because they had done a story and they got all their facts wrong and I had all the facts right, you know, and they said that they're not interested in facts. They're interested in the stories. What that producer told me word for word, I'm like, okay, I get it. I don't want it. But I get it. But you can't call yourself a news show because you're not talking about the news. You're talking about bullcrap. And if you're talking about bullcrap, you can make up your bullcrap as you go along like they do. And, you know, even if there's worthy talent on CNN, they're overshadowed by all the negativity going on, right? Anyway, so I tune in for New Year's Eve just to see Anderson Cooper. And instead of Kathy Gifford, because ever since she posed with Trump's bloody head and she got fired from CNN, which is commendable, you know, they fire people like that. They fired that other idiot who ended up on Fox, you know, who's a Democratic operative, right? And she's out there. And every time she's on, I turn a channel because I want to see her face, you know what I mean? But so CNN, they've got Andy Cohen, right? So, and Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper are like bookends. They're like white on white bookends. So there's just nothing there for me. No flair. They're laughing, doing all these inside gay jokes. You know what? If you want to have a gay New Year's Eve, that's fine. A gay innuendo, it's boring, man. You know, have someone on there that's fun. They were supposed to have a comedian who was out there opposite Anderson Cooper. He's the straight man, no pun intended. And then you have the comedian. So instead of going and looking for another comedian or putting anybody out, some comedian of color, they're all into putting out people, all kinds of this, that, and your whatever, anything. They put Andy Cohen on there. And he's not funny. He's not fun. He's not interesting. He's the reason why you would change the channel ultimately. You know what I mean? Like, ugh, I can't take this anymore. And it got to that point. After at least 4 minutes, I couldn't handle it anymore, man. They're insulting my intelligence. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. I went back to the cute bubbly girl on NBC, and I stayed with it, you know? She's dancing. Then she did a dance like she was like wearing a nude bodysuit, man. I was all over that. Until Steve Harvey came on. So then Steve Harvey comes on, Fox. It was like late at that point. It was like almost midnight. He comes on, and man, he was just off his game, man. I couldn't even believe it, like just how off he was. I don't know. He didn't want to be there, or he wasn't having a good time, or I don't know what the hell it was, man. He's usually on. Some people are practically on all the time, and then he's one of those guys. And he was just thrown off or whatever. I don't know. Plus, it's got to be a weird scene. You know, being out in the open these days and being famous, I think is could be an issue depending on who you are. I think there's a lot of stuff that people think about now that they didn't used to think about. Like, wow, you know, you watch the news, and you see the people walk into a church and start blowing people away, man. So, and I know that Times Square is probably one of the safest places that you could be in. At an event. Because they so overly do the security. De Blasio, I'm not so sure about, but they do. I know people in NYPD, and they really over-obsess about, you know, counterterrorism, stuff like that. They had drones flying around, all that. And it was a beautiful night, warm night, man. So there was a lot of people there, you know, huge, huge crowd. And then it got off. It was fine, man, except for some of that country music, you know. Talk about attacking people's senses. Hey. I'm not a country music fan. Never was, never will be. It's not something I can get into. You know, I just hear it, and it kind of, you know, it makes me feel like, just like that. And then, you know, people that are like, yeah, what do you think of that Garth Brooks? I'm like, oh, God, man, yeah. I have to start naming the country stars out of girls that I think they're attractive and stuff. Like, yeah, that's Shania Twain. She's pretty cute. That's the extent of my country music. I just don't like it. It's just too much. You know what I mean? I love funk. Funkadelic, man. You know, gotta get your funk on. Love funk. Love ska, you know, R&B, man, you know, all kind of stuff like that. Rock. Everything, man, hardcore, you know, rap, even get into hip hop and all that. It's all good, man. Reggae, you know what I mean? Love reggae, love raga, you know, stuff like that. But country, no. It's just the one thing that I don't belong listening to, you know. Like, it's just, come on. So they had a lot of country guys on there. You know how I know? because I don't know who they are. And it's like if they're on there, and they're on there with a cowboy hat, and they got cowboy boots on, and it's New York City, and then they start tong 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 tong. I'm like, oh god, oh god, talk about provoking people, man. You know what I mean? Ain't no urban cowboy anymore. That was a myth. It was a TV show, movie, whatever it was. It doesn't happen. You know what I mean? And I love cowboy hats. I love cowboy boots. I love the whole thing. Just the music. The music, I'm like, Southern rock? Play me some Leonard Skinner, man. You know, I'm all with that. Little Molly Hatchet. Love it, man. Allman Brothers. I could be with the Allman Brothers. But you know what? Even like, what's that other one, man? That other twit that I can't stand. That you know, it's like I kind of classify people. I have this weird Rolodex in my head, you know, and then I try to pluck those cards out and get rid of them and block people out completely, and then I'm pretty successful at it, you know. But like Kanye, now Kanye, I remember because he gets on stage and makes losers famous. You know what I mean? Like. And that's power. You know what I mean? You thought Bill Clinton was powerful, you know, with that whole Monica Lewinsky, you know, you know what I mean? You thought, I mean, he made her famous and the only thing she did was kind of service him. You know what I mean? That's power. That's a powerful person right there, you know, but I like real music and I don't like fake music. Now, Kanye West, I couldn't name not one song that he does. And I see he's doing some kind of religion now. I know who he's married to. I know that he supported Trump somewhat, you know, and, you know, whatever, man. I don't even get into that. I think it is what it is. Brave. Very, very, very brave for him to do something like that. But the rest of them... The country scene anyway, the cowboy boots, it's all cool if you like it. That's what I'm going to say, man. I'm not going to knock people for things I like. Because I was in the music business, man, and I was a writer. I was an entertainment writer, and I had to review some of that stuff sometime. But my editor also was smart and knew that, you know, he's going to focus my thing on the stuff that I really enjoy and that type of thing, which I could appreciate, man. But I've gone to country bars before, you know, in fact. My friends and I almost started a huge fight in one, talking trash about Dolly Parton, man. I guess it's just stuff you can't bring up with some people. You know what I mean? But it's a country bar in Long Island. You know what? You got to look at it this way. Is it really a country bar if it's on Long Island? You know? Come on, man. It's Long Island. Long Island. Yeah? You can like your Dolly Parton. You'll be fighting over Dolly Parton. It's Long Island, for God's sakes. Can't take that stuff to heart, but whatever. I know that 2020 came in. I was sorry to say goodbye to Steve Harvey because I was feeling his pain. I had empathy for him. I don't know what he was feeling, but I don't know, whatever he was disgruntled. And went back to NBC and watched that chick dance. She even changed her little costume. She was like a fluffy fluff ball of pink. And then she was like something else. You know what? I can appreciate that. Because it's entertainment. And then if you're there to be a good host, I like a good host. It's important to be a good host, you know, because that's what you do. You can't be the host that's so full of yourself that, like, you know, Anderson Cooper, right? Because he's not really a laughing kind of guy. So now he's in an environment where he feels like anything he says that's avant-garde is hysterically funny, even though it's not. It's more like staring at a door. You ever see a door off its hinges? Like an antique door, but not one that has any kind of design, the real plain antique door. And it's kind of got a funky knob on it, right? And it's just sitting there standing up against the wall. So you can sit there and look at it. And that's my experience with Anderson Cooper. I'm just looking at the boring door with weird knob. And then it's not saying anything. It's making me laugh. Only thing he's doing is laughing at everything, and they were like doing shots and whatever. And I've seen enough CNN people drink, you know, like Don Lemon. Don Lemon, who is a big anchor of theirs, who's in a huge lawsuit for really disgustingly, while he was on Long Island, by the way, at a country bar, seriously, seriously, at a country bar, who reached down into his pants. So he runs into a guy who was a critic of his, right? And, you know, in the media, they don't like each other. The guy was being all nice, offered to buy drinks for him and the whole crew, right? In a Long Island bar, a country bar, out in the Hamptons, a country bar on Long Island. So instead of Don Lemon makes a nasty comment, tells the guy to F off, F his mother, all the nice things you would expect to come out of an anchor from CNN, you know, and then sticks his fingers down his pants, his shorts, Don Lemon, his own, fondles himself, pulls his hand out, and sticks his hand in the guy's face and, like, rubs his finger on the guy's mustache. Blah! Now, that is sick, man. And that's what I expect out of CNN. That brings down their whole crew. And I know one guy is acting for one guy, but when you're part of a team, you know that? You got to consider those other team members, man. And that's what CNN is, right? They're not individuals, you know? But, oh, my God. So yeah, that's disgusting, man. Dick fingers, Don Lemon, you know, dick fingers. And the guy sued him because of that, because he had traumatized, you know, traumatized. Can't watch CNN, can't eat sausages anymore, no bananas. Traumatized because of Don Lemon's disgusting behavior. So, and you know, this is also during the big press, the press dinner for the president, right? When they're up there and, you know, they're roasting each other and one guy mentioned Don Lemon and then he gives him the finger up on stage, you know. That's just, you know, behavior that's unwarranted or really just unacceptable behavior of to me, someone who's an anchor, you know. This isn't cable access. We're talking about international news channel, you know. So, and all, you know, don't you want credibility? As a news channel, don't you want credibility? And I know these guys take their sides and they make up their stories and blah, 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 blah. I see people on Fox that are very, very pro-Trump, ridiculously pro-Trump. Whereas, and no matter what he does is good, right? Does something bad, it's not, it's good. And you can't talk to people like that. And on the other side, the ones who hate him, no matter what he does is bad, right? And I'll tell you, man, there's a lot of things that are good that are happening, right? If they were bad, I'd be saying it. The only thing bad that's been happening is this division, this whole, you know, and don't forget, before he was even in, they had their resist movement, you know, so, and they were listening to the guy, listening to his campaign. They didn't trust him, nothing. So I think that, you know, I just think that the country's going to have to go long and far to heal from something like this, you know. And I think 2020 is going to be very challenging in a lot of ways for a lot of people. I'll make my predictions for the year right now. There's going to be a lot of problems politically with people fighting. It's going to get heated, more angry, especially as they beat the war drums on both sides. California, going to have a major earthquake. Major earthquake, man. I'm predicting that right now. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm actually giving you time to leave if you're there. I'm not saying when. I don't know. I just kind of feel it. You know what I mean? I'm sensitive. Or I'm just hopeful that Adam Schiff's house slides into a big crack in the ground. Nobody else. Just Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, man. You know? These people have polarize themselves in a negative way. And because of that polarization, it's actually going across the whole Democratic Party. And they're hostages, they are, of the DNC. They have to vote a certain way. They can't, they got no mind of their own. But you elected them to have a mind of their own. You didn't put them in office to only represent a few people. It's for everybody, right? Everybody. So I'll tell you, man, what I don't like. I don't like people putting other people down for their opinions. And I used to do that. Yeah, I still do it sometimes. I don't put people down. But sometimes people say such asinine stuff. You got to be like, oh, my God. Did you actually say that? People don't even know anything. Like, not learned. You know, not even the headline people. Read a headline and repeat it. I'm talking about the ones who are spoon-fed dog poop by third, fourth, fifth parties, you know. And I try not to associate with people like that. And when I hear them talk, I'm like, ugh. And I know that I can't teach them anything because they're too far gone. How do you penetrate that type of funk? Funk, you know, they just can't handle it, man. They can't handle the truth. So on both sides. And that's the thing. There shouldn't be two sides. It should be one, a universal one. Everybody together, right? And you make those laws for everybody. Now, equality, start there. You know, I was watching a stupid movie, right? With Simon Pegg. Love Simon Pegg, man. You know, Simon Pegg, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. He was in that movie. He directed Star Trek movies now. He actually climbed the ladder. I met Simon Pegg years ago at the Toronto Film Festival. And, man, that was like 14, 15 years ago, something like that. And he was a really cool guy. And then Shaun of the Dead had been out, and I really liked the movie. And, you know, it was kind of, it wasn't like in the forefront of zombie movies because it was a zombie comedy. But loved everything that he and everybody else did. Great, great actors, great people. If you have never seen Shaun of the Dead, watch Shaun of the Dead. All right. So Simon Pegg's in this movie. And it's about, he's a school teacher, and these aliens, you know, like we sent that Voyager out, Voyager 2, and then it went out into outer space, and basically it was a human calling card, right? So you're alerting some alien species of our presence, which may not be a good idea, right? So this thing goes out, you know, and these aliens find it, and they're like, wow, look at this, and they all laugh, and another one of these species, and they go determine if humans are worthy enough to be lifted up into the intergalactic high-level species, whatever, and that type of thing. So they select one human on the Earth, and of course it's Simon Pegg, who is an English school teacher. And, you know, he starts realizing he has these powers, and this is, I couldn't finish the movie. There's only three movies that I couldn't finish watching. This was the third. And this is a big deal because the other two were quite some time ago. It was The Three Musketeers with Kiefer Sutherland. And I think Charlie Sheen was in there. Yeah, I couldn't watch it. End of Days with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It definitely was his End of Days because that was pretty much it for his career after that. It was terrible. I had to tune away, man. And I even watched Interstellar all the way to the end, which is like 9 hours long, man. It felt like 9 hours. It actually felt like all the intelligence in my brain leaked out of my ear into my drink, and I was done. Then it was just going on and on and on and on and on. So in this movie, right, which I forgot even the name, which was blocked out, pulled the Rolodex out of my brain and tossed it away. So Simon Pegg is the school teacher. He gets these magical powers. So he realizes he could do anything. You wave his hand, and I mean literally anything, anything, anything. So what does he do? He gives himself a big penis, right? Oh, big penis, and falls down, fuddles around because he didn't specify the size and all that. And it going on like that. His friend was horny for some other teacher. He made her fall in love with him and that type of thing, right? But let me ask you this. This is what bothers me about the movie. And I know it's a stupid movie. All right? I know it. But this is what bothers me about mankind. And this is why we have problems today, I feel like. If you had all of the power of the universe, all of it, and you could make anything happen, you could manipulate time, you could materialize, you could do anything, anything, would you really be thinking about giving yourself a bigger penis? Especially if you already have one, you know, it wouldn't be the first thing that came to mind. Yeah, I guess for some dudes, but come on, man, wouldn't you like solve all the problems of the world, take people's pain away first and foremost? You know, no more suffering and poverty and, you know, all that stuff, homelessness, everything. Wouldn't you fix those problems first? That should be first on the list, not bigger dick. Homelessness, help people, right? People suffering, dying of cancer, terrible things. Little kids got tumors in their brain, dying right now as we speak. But you want to give yourself a big dick. See, that doesn't register as a progressive type of situation, man. To me, it's a statement of mankind because that's what people do. They're not looking to solve poverty. They're not looking to solve homelessness. As a matter of fact, there's a certain element out there that wants people to be in danger because that's how they justify a lot of spending. You know, just like in New York State, there is no more bail for so-called low-level offenders, even though a guy just got out who stabbed a woman and killed her, but now he's going to be out free running around back in July, and because there's no more bail, so, you know, he's running around now. I can go through all these cases in the last few days of them releasing criminals who had just committed a crime, and they go out and commit more crimes. And then, you know, they say, well, arrests will be down because of this no bail situation. In New York City, they're actually giving away cash cards, gift cards, theater tickets to people who are offenders, not to the victims. You don't get some theater tickets if you're a victim. You don't get a cash card because the government failed to protect you by incarcerating people and keeping them in who are solely dangerous to other people out there who create victims. No, they give the assailant, the perp, they give them the card. So they released all these people from Rikers Island, New York City, holding facility, right? Where the worst of the worst go, really. They're running through the streets with these cash cards, going into liquor stores, trying to buy alcohol and tobacco. The first thing they thought of getting out of jail. Alcohol, tobacco. Probably the stuff that got them in trouble in the first place. So my question begins with, why? Simple, why? Why do this? There's a reason to have bail. And a bail is a judge's discretion. So if you appear in front of a judge, that judge is going to weigh the options of should they release this person on their own recognizance, an ROR? Should they put them in incarcerate them because they're a danger to the public? So then they revoke any type of bail? Or should they, or do you think that they're not going to show up in court again, or they're going to flee, or they want to, you want to keep them somewhat in line, so you post a large amount of bail, and then they have to go to a bail bondsman sometimes, or which I used to work for back in the day. I was a bail enforcement agent, you know, for a time. And then I'll tell you, the people that skip bail, they're your dangerous criminals. Now, you're not going to have a bail situation. So you're going to have a situation where people get arrested and they're going to be back on the street before the police are even done doing the paperwork. So it's going to be disillusioned police officers. Police officers already under attack in New York State. Already no political support, really. It's tiny what's out there. Little itty bitty political support for police. It should be, all right. If there's a dirty cop, call them out, charge them accordingly. But don't condemn all the police out there because, one, we need them. Number two, they're there to protect and serve us. You know what I mean? A lot of them don't act like it. And a lot of people are afraid of police, which I think is a huge problem. But I'll tell you this. With disillusioned cops, with witnesses afraid to talk, it's called the chilling effect. You're going to chill them to the point where these witnesses are going to see these criminals that commit crime. They're not going to want to talk because these criminals are going to be in their face. The other day, this guy in Brooklyn sucker punched a police officer, like broke his face. And then the same guy has been terrorizing the neighborhood, they said, for months, right? Going all the shopkeepers, stealing what he wants, causing problems, just being an asshole, really. So they arrested him. And guess what? He was back out. No time at all. Back on his own stomping grounds. And that guy is going to take revenge. He attacked the police officer, He attacked the police officer. Punched a guy, a sucker punched him in the face. Anybody that would do that, you don't want in your neighborhood. Anyone that would do that, attack a police officer, would attack anybody. Would attack you, would attack your kid, whatever, man. So, I think that my prediction for New York State, crime wave, because we're already seeing indication of people being arrested multiple times in quick succession. They commit the crime, they get arrested, no bail, they're back on the street, they commit another crime, they get arrested, back on the street, bum, 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 bum. You're taking power away from the judge. I mean, and I read the list of offenses. You know, it was supposed to be when Governor Cuomo floated this whole thing, and he's the one who was behind this, you know, when he floated this whole thing, he said it was going to be for low-level offenses, right? Low-level offenses. Nothing violent. It's what he said. I have the list of all of the offenses, and it's all about violence. You know, I mean, the vehicular homicide, you got no bail. People can be cruel to their animals. You got no bail. Although now animal cruelty is against the federal law because Trump signed it into law. So now the feds can go after people who do that. And you're not relying on your local police agencies to act, right? So what do you think is going to happen? Criminals feel emboldened now that they can do whatever they want to do with minimal punishment, right? Especially if people are afraid to turn them in. So, man, I see it happening already. And this is day two, you know, day two, literally. So, otherwise, I just, you know, it's kind of like even my mom said it. People are going to arm themselves and they're going to react. You know, the police have failed to protect you. The government's failed to protect you. You know, the Second Amendment says that they government fails to protect you, you protect yourself, right? But it's funny, in the same state, New York State, where it's illegal for you, the citizen, to even own a stun gun, a non-lethal device that's a deterrent for crime, you're not allowed to own it. Why? Why is that? You know, oh, because it'll get in the hands of criminals. If they want one, they can own one. They can have one. Most states have it where it's legal. New York is very strict when it comes to everything. So disarm the public and then have no bail and let people run through the streets and on Long Island on New Year's Eve. Long Island. They released a whole bunch of people on New Year's Eve. And now there's a crime wave going on there that they're busy trying to round them up again. But even when they round them up again, they're going to charge them with extra crime. They're going to release them again. So that to me is, you know, no wonder why people are moving out of New York State. Lost over 180,000 people last year. You know, the numbers are going down. And people, you know, to the point where if it's unaffordable, taxes are too high, too crazy, full of crime. You know, I mean, here in Ithaca, they pass out drugs to people. They supply drugs to people, and these guys sell their drugs. There's literally thousands and thousands of felonies going on in Ithaca, New York, right under the sheriff's nose and the nose of these politicians, and they don't care. And then because of that, those residual effects turn into everything else, turn into robbery. I was having my car fixed. I go to pick up my car today and then realize there's a whole bunch of stuff missing, you know, and all my silver change. I had money in there, other kind of money and a whole bunch of stuff. These two chime balls that I've had for 25 years that were supposedly from the Richard Nixon estate. Really? I don't know if I believe the Richard Nixon part from the guy that sold it to me, though. It was a friend of mine. It's a funny story. It's just a cool, no provenance. I can't prove it, but it's a cool story. And they're gone. And he used to soothe me when I was in bumper-to-bumper traffic. I'd have my chime balls, and I'd listen, ting, 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 as I'm driving down the road. Now, nothing. Nothing. Because someone stole my stuff. You know, I called the dealership, and they're like, well, yeah, people have been breaking in lately. So in back of that dealership, there's a place called, they call the Jungle, right? And there's a whole bunch of homeless people that live back there. So Ithaca, New York, one of the biggest liberal places on the planet. More liberal than Berkeley, California, man. Ithaca wins number one. Doesn't take care of their homeless people. They call it a lifestyle. They think it's okay to let people live outside. They don't care. Look at San Francisco. People are pooping in the street. If your dog poops in the street, you're going to get a $250 fine. They are happy to fine you if your dog poops in the street. But humans are pooping in the street, nothing, right? And that stuff is deadly, man. You don't want to inhale that. You know that, right? You can get all kinds of stuff. You can die from that. It turns toxic human waste within 24 hours. You don't want that. And they have it. And then one says, so you gotta say to yourself, well, in San Francisco, well, they just put porta potties everywhere, right? Something, you know, some kind of incentive for these people. If these people that deranged, that they're gonna pull their pants down in the middle of a street and take a poop or in the middle of a sidewalk, they need to be in a facility that's gonna help them, you know? Not roaming the streets where they're going to wig out. Oh, now you can steal up to like $1,000 worth of stuff a day in San Francisco. It almost makes you want to go there. You know, go shopping in San Fran. Come on, man. How is that even, you know, how is that even intelligent, man? You know, to allow people to do. Oh, you got to let them do it. You know, they're homeless. Well, freaking find them a home. You know, do something about it. Don't let them steal from people or be the aggressive panhandler. One guy just got a whole bunch of nasty urine in his face because he didn't give a guy $5. He throws a bucket of urine at him, man. You know, and then me personally, I would wig out. I would not be the guy who's calm. Like you just threw a bucket of urine on me and I'm smiling. You know, oh, I understand that you're a deranged, whatever. No, I'm going to have to execute you there on the spot. That's what it is. You attacked me, man. You know, it's self-defense. You throw urine on someone, you have to expect some kind of horrible retribution, man. You don't just sit there and be like, okay, they throw urine on me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm enjoying my stay in San Francisco. The San Francisco treat, it is not. Right? So I won't go there. That's it. That's it, man. Or I'm going to go there and be the slapping Pope, man. I want to go there and slap people. Slap some sense into them. If the Pope can slap people, I should be able to slap them. Right? Really? Is that ridiculous? And that's Nancy Pelosi's backyard. That place is crumbling under her leadership. And she's out there with all this other rhetoric. And she came and looked in her own backyard and say, well, my constituents need me. They need me to help them. You know, Adam Schiff is from California, too. All these guys that are never Trumpers, Trump haters, are all from California. There's a thing going on there. I know about the earthquake. I heard about it. The big earthquake that's coming for California. And there's a guy on the radio was talking about it. The guy on UPRN was just talking about it a few minutes ago. Big earthquake, California. But I, you know what? I feel sorry for all the animals that are going to suffer from that earthquake, man. I really do. And I'll talk about something that's not funny, though. Yeah, yes, I do find humor in that. Talk about something that's not funny is Australia, man, and the wildfires going on. And then they said 500 million animals have died. Can you imagine that? 500 million animals. You know, terrible, horrible. And they just need help, I guess, you know, more and more help. I don't think they're getting enough from the international community, that's for sure. But I have friends all over Australia. I got a really good friend in Sydney. And that smoke and whatever, it's just constant. And those communities are under attack that are out, you know, not just the outback, but, you know, the ones who are kind of off here and off there that are isolated, more isolated. So I just really feel for them, you know, because it's a hell. It's a hell, you know, and, you know, between animals dying, people have died and all these terrible things. My prayers go to Australia tonight on Michael Angley Live. And then, you know what? We're thinking about you, you know, and like I said, there needs to be more of a response from the international community because it's a disaster. You know, it's a disaster. And I know that some people are, you know, giving some stuff and whatever, but I really haven't seen this outcry. You know what I mean? So the only thing you get is the people like this global warming. Yeah. And no matter, I'll give it to you like this. Everybody's got their opinions, however they get their information, I don't know. Everybody's got their opinions. No matter what, it's happening. And it's more of the results of what's happening than your opinion as to why this and why that and whatever. You can ask why after you handle the situation. So instead of running around trying to cash in on political value over something terrible, like they do with shootings, you know, they immediately just run gun control, gun control, gun control. You know what I mean? it's like they don't even understand what they're saying. They're pushing policy, but they don't understand what they're saying, because if you're trying to prevent the body count from death, you know, I mean, to say gun control, there are so many illegal guns out there. And the more you try to tighten up gun control, the more illegal guns are out there. They're not looking to get rid of illegal guns. The whole time Obama was in there, I never heard him say that we're going to go and get rid of illegal guns. And I would have been like, yeah, yeah. You know, and you go after the people who are selling guns to people that shouldn't have them, right? No, they don't want to do that, you know? And then anytime someone brings it up, you have both sides start fighting with each other on, you know, an overreach. And man, Beto, you know, Beto O'Rourke, he said himself while he was trying to run for president that he was just going to go and take them. So now in Virginia, you know, the governor there, the governor who's either in a KKK uniform or in blackface, who didn't decide, you know, in college and decided not to resign in disgrace with all that, right? He held his ground, is led by a whole bunch. You got a guy, his lieutenant is, you know, accused of rape and all this other stuff. So not a good team. They are going to confiscate. And the sheriffs in all the counties there are saying, we're not going to enforce the law. And they said, if you send the National Guard, because then it escalated, the governor's like, well, we'll send the National Guard after you. The sheriff's like, if you send the National Guard in, we're going to fight them. So this is the Civil War. This is how it starts. It's starting over something actually very simple, an overreach of rights. They're overreaching to take your rights away because they want to prevent something in their mind that is, you know, should never happen. These mass shootings, obviously, you know. So look at look at France, look at Nice, right? The guy was in a truck and killed over 80 people, drove over them. You're not running around. We got banned trucks, we got banned cars. No. This government has allowed people to sue gun manufacturers because other people have bought those guns and killed people. But you can't sue the car manufacturer when the terrorist runs over 9 people, like killed 9 people in New York City a few years back, on the West Side, right? Run them over. 9 people. You know? So it's to me, it's ridiculous because you want to stop the mentality that's committing the crime. You know, the guns and the cars and the trucks are going to be there. You want to stop the sick bastard from doing it. And you don't, because you let them roam the streets, right? We had a dude here in Ithaca. He was locked up in the local hospital. They have a psych ward, right? Threatening to kill himself. He wanted to die. Okay. They put him in a psych ward. After literally a couple of days, he said, oh, it's okay. I don't want to kill myself anymore. He wanted to get out of there, right? And instead of keeping him in for a certain amount of time, you know, most places will keep 5 to 7 days. Some places they'll keep you even longer for observation if they think you're really tilted. This guy had a long history of mental illness. So I'm not just saying he's going to kill himself. He's got this long history of mental illness. They let him go. He literally walked from the hospital to the police station. Along the way, he found himself a 9-inch butcher knife. He goes to the police station. You have to be buzzed to get in. So you buzz the buzzer. The cop comes to open the door. He stabs the cop. The cop pulls out his gun and shoots the guy dead, right? Now, that hospital, Cayuga Medical Hospital, has failed the community, failed that police officer, and failed the person who basically committed suicide by a cop, right? And the local media, I see the police, well, we don't know why he did it. We're looking for reasons why. The local media, we don't know why, because he's a very liberal man, you know what I mean? And then they're like, we don't know why. We don't know why. Well, the guy was in there because he said he was going to kill himself. When he realized he couldn't kill himself, he lied to get out, and he went to the police station and committed suicide by cop. What don't you understand? It's that simple. But that dude could have easily walked one block over with his women and children shopping and whatever, and with a 9-inch butcher knife, he could have done a lot of damage. You see, you know, in the United States, 4 times more people die from knives than long guns. Do you know that? 4 times more. So it's not like you're going to solve the problems by tightening some restrictions on guns, which I'm all for. If they're reasonable, but not, you know, we're going to come in your house and take your gun at gunpoint. You're going to point a gun at me to take my gun, you know? So I don't know, man. It's getting crazier. But in Virginia, it's a heated situation, and both sides have dug in, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's all about politics. Meanwhile, Virginia has some really janky cities where there's a lot of illegal guns, where there's a lot of crime. They don't care about those people being killed, you know? When there's a school shooting and five or six people get killed, oh, man, you got to have, you know, a town hall meeting on CNN about taking guns away. But in Chicago, people get killed all the time, several times a day sometimes. In Baltimore, places like that, all day. No one talks about that. They just said, oh, the homicide rate's going up, but there's no solution. And they don't care about why, because they don't care who's getting killed there. And that's the truth of it. That's the ugly, ugly truth of it. So, yeah, in politics, man, you know, it's ugly. So that's my 2020. Look out for that earthquake in California. And I will see you guys next week on this show. We're going to end the show. Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, and 104.7 in Past Christiane, and all over the world. I'll see you guys next week.
About to kick your ass.
What's that?
I was messing with my son.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, like, let me shut that off.
This is Matt Siraj, fourth generation owner of Community Coffee. My great grandfather named it Community just out of appreciation and respect for his friends and neighbors. And for 100 years, our family has been about two things: great tasting coffee and great people. And as America's number one family-owned retail coffee brand, we believe it's our responsibility to continue to give them the best tasting coffee experience possible. And it's why we're excited for you to discover your new favorite blend. Look for Community Coffee at a store near you. This is Matt Siraj, fourth generation owner of Community Coffee. My great grandfather named it Community just out of appreciation and respect for his friends and neighbors. And for 100 years, our family has been about two things: great tasting coffee and great people. And as America's number one family-owned retail coffee brand, we believe it's our responsibility to continue to give them the best tasting coffee experience possible. And it's why we're excited for you to discover your new favorite blend. Look for Community Coffee at a store near you.